بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصحابة الكرام رضي الله عنهم سي كنا خدام أنفسنا نتناوب رعاية إبلنا. That we should work and we used to accomplish our works with our own hands. Do not consider any work to be too menial, nor should we think ourselves to be too high. Even to the level of grazing camels, we would do it our own selves. At the beginning, when people began to accept Islam, then it would have been difficult to send people at every village, at every town, every tribe, every community, and teach them the details of Islam. The easier, more effective method would have been that people come in their delegations, selected people, people of understanding, and people that can understand concepts well. Not anybody and everybody. People who can understand concepts well. Al-Mu'ad Thani Sahib Rahmatullahi says that our former ulama-i kiram would discourage that maslas should be taught, and maslas means rules and regulations pertaining to the Sharia. So rules and regulations pertaining to the Sharia should not be taught and delivered from a public forum. So I had some reservations to this, though it was the teaching of our former elder ulama and mashayikh, but I had some reservations. What's wrong, one, two masalas, if we teach it from a public forum, from a Jummah, or from any public forum, what's wrong in that? On one occasion, I had to go up to Lucknow, and I thought to myself that people trade and buy gold quite freely. Coming from an Indian background, then most Indians want some jewelry, some ornament, whatever else. So what's there if I teach them one, two masail pertaining to the purchasing and the sale of gold and silver? Since this is an in thing, people make a mistake in this, and making a mistake in this can be very sensitive, can be a very delicate thing, it can amount to interest. So I thought from that public forum, let me go and deliver, and let me teach one, two masail pertaining to the purchasing and selling of gold and silver. Alhamdulillah, the bayan had ended, and thereafter I overheard two people discussing, and both have misconstrued the whole masala. One is explaining from one dimension, the other is explaining from a different dimension, and both had misconstrued the whole thing. So then did I realize that what this mashayikh said of old was right. Okay, at a public forum, you can't be teaching these type of delicate aspects. Now, I was in one janaza, and the masjid was crowded, the sehen area was crowded where they had to have the janaza namaz. So I'm seeing people are giving their own suggestions. What's wrong? If you go inside, take a step inside, what's wrong? It's crowded here, we can't manage it here, just go inside, what's wrong? So I didn't say anything for that moment, but it set me thinking that why are they behaving like this? You know, when it's a delicate aspect pertaining to health, then they will not say, just do it like this. They will say, I'll refer it to a specialist, refer it to a surgeon, see what he has to say about it. Now, these are masail pertaining to permissibility, impermissibility, jais, najais. So why is it that people are going in this direction? Then someone brought it to my attention that these type of masail and discussions happen openly over radios, etc. And the public is asked to give their views on halal and haram. The public is asked to give their views on halal and haram. Now when they are going to be asked to give their views, then is there a need for the a'immah, for the imams, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah, etc.? Is there a need for Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah, etc.? There is no need. Now everybody is going to use his own discretion, and then he is going to give that masala according to how he sees it. And then this whole westernized type of culture that we live in, and we don't feel easy to approach the next person and ask him, inquire, okay, what is the masala pertaining to this? Because we feel within ourselves, perhaps we'll feel embarrassed that that person may just say, such a simple thing, you don't know about it. So hiding that embarrassment, we would rather use our discretion and we will go across, not understanding that we will be plunging ourselves into something that may be totally impermissible. One professor had to go with his mates, with his friends, etc., and some of his students. So it was an Islamic university, and the students had to go with their professor, and they were traveling. So now it was namaz time, and they couldn't find water. So they say, well, the Quran Sharif says, وَفَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. You don't find water, so make tayammum. Make tayammum with pure soil. So they said, well, tayammum is the replacement, it's a substitute for wuzu. So we don't have the water, so wuzu we cannot make. When we can't make wuzu, then we should be using the substitute, and the substitute is soil. So he started off now. The students are watching and observing what the professor Sahib is going to do. Now it is below his dignity to ask someone, some learned person, alim, buzur, or someone that knows about deen, that how do you do tayammum, what's the procedure? Because if he asks someone, then it will be below his dignity. What will people feel about him, that such a big professor and he doesn't know basics of deen? So now it's beyond him to go and ask and to go and inquire. He feels to himself, if I want to inquire, then I'll lose my respect. So rather use my discretion and do it myself. So this type of attitude has come into our people quite swiftly. And this is where it is stemming from, see. That people have been told that we are asking for your opinions with regards to halal and haram. Now these are delicate issues. These are not small issues. They are very, very delicate, very, very sensitive issues. So the Prophet started, he jumped off his vehicle and he started off. He took, scooped a handful of sand and started rubbing the hand with that sand. Then all the students are becoming curious, what's going to be the next? So he took another scoop of sand, he put it into his mouth. Hey, now they couldn't contain themselves with laughter. Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? So obviously these are taught at the basic, at the elementary levels. But now, when we don't have that heart to inquire, and we feel to ourselves that we know it all, then what is the solution for such a person? When he feels that he knows it all, he doesn't need to contact anybody. One person is moving to his shop. His shop, for example, is in Durban. He lives in Spingo. So he says, the Quran Sharif says, إِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَقْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. When you're traveling through the earth, then it's not a guna that you shorten your salah, you make qasr, like how a musafir will read two rakats in place of four rakats. So there's no doubt about me traveling. When I'm traveling, the Quran Sharif has given this type of concession. When it's a concession of Allah Ta'ala, then who's got the right to deprive me of this concession? I was living in Spingo for the ages, and he's performing two rakats in place of four rakats. Someone asked him, by what are you doing? He said, no, the Quran Sharif gave this concession. He said, well, how far is the masjid from your house? About half a kilometer. So that's also traveling. Then why don't you read all your namazes as qasr then? Now this is the tragedy, this is the irony when we use our own discretion. The fuqa went and seen all the hadith on that subject. For example, now they come across this section about traveling, right? So they'll see all the hadith, and then they'll see it in context. They won't see it in isolation. One hadith or one verse of the Quran Sharif, they won't look at it in isolation. They will look at it in context. Alright, after they look into it in context, then they will see the level of the authenticity of the tradition that has come. What is the level? Then they will see which hadith came first, which hadith came second. Then they will see What is there an idiomatic expression on this? Because every language has got an idiomatic expression. You need to understand the idiomatic expression before you come to a conclusion. So all these factors they will take into perspective before they come to a conclusion. They won't just come to a conclusion straight and direct. So all this pain, we are avoiding all the pain. So no, the Quran Sharif is there, we know the Quran Sharif. So what's wrong? One person, he came up, said, no, I did a little bit of Arabic at the university level. So the one that knows Arabic knows everything. He knows Arabic. So when he knows Arabic, he knows everything. So what's the need for him to go to an alim? He knows everything now. He knows Arabic, so he knows everything. So one person came up to him, and simple person came up to him, said, Mawlana, he's not a Mawlana, not qualified, but he learned Arabic. At a higher level, he learned Arabic. He says, I want to get this chair fixed up, you know. I want to get this chair fixed up. So he said, what do you think? I'm a carpenter here. So no, but I heard that the one that learned Arabic, he knows everything. The one that knows Arabic, then he knows everything. So that person got stumbled, he understood that that was his mistake. See, the reasoning is not right. So you learn something, you learn just the language. Knowing that language doesn't make you a doctor, it doesn't make you a lawyer, it doesn't make you a professional person. That one thing that you have learned that must remain within the limits of your parameters. That you won't go wrong. But now you go beyond the limits of your parameters, then obviously it's wrong. But then this wrong here is not just the wrong of the people that are delivering from those stations, radio stations, whatever it is. Not only their wrong. You know, we speak about the Nasara and the Christians and the Jews and how they are trying to turn Makkah and Mukarramah like Paris with all the buildings and the high skyscrapers, right? And the making it all into entertainment centers and all that. But then it is not only their fault. It is our fault as well, because these people are there for the business. When they are there for the business, they will see the niche market. What's the niche market? What's the need in the market? The market wants this, they will do their homework and they will supply it. So they see what we need. Based on what we need, they will provide it. So we can't go and swear them and abuse them and insult them. We feel very simple, no, these people did this, this. So we feel like we shifted all the blame away from us onto those shayateen that have tried all this out. So this is the exact thing that will play out on the day of Qiyamah. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. Shaitan will say, he will claim and he will say that I am absolutely innocent of this crime. Don't push the blame onto me. You are putting the blame onto me, then I am not to be blamed. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Blame yourselves. So when the trial comes about, when you're in the push, when you're cornered, then this is what happens. Each one tries to save himself. Each one wants to shift the blame onto the other. The day of Qiyamah is a serious thing. Even the father is wanting to throw the blame onto the son. The son is wanting to throw the blame onto the father. So now we try to throw the blame onto Shaitan. Shaitan also acquits himself. No, I am innocent from this crime. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Blame yourselves. إِنِّي دَعَوْتُكُمْ. All I did was I just encouraged you, I lured you. But you coming there, you came of your own discretion. I didn't drag you by your forelocks, brought you to this destruction. That was not my work. That was your work. You did it of your own. So don't blame me. Don't hold me responsible for this. So the same, you know, these type of people, they look into the market, what people want. They want this fashion, they bring out that fashion. They want the tight type of clothing, they will bring the tight type of clothing. They want television, they'll bring the television. They want porn, they will give that porn. They are not worried about the porn. What they worry is about your money. So you want it, they will make it available. So long as they get in the money, they're not worried about what happens to you afterwards. So now, you blaming them that they did it, they causing it, really is not, you're not assuming responsibility for your actions. A Muslim is supposed to be assuming responsibility for his actions, squarely. So these Sahaba kiram say, كُنَّا نَتَنَاوَبُ الرِّعَيَةَ رِعَيَةَ إِبِلِينَ. We used to graze our animals ourselves. So imagine delegations are coming into Medina Munawwara. So that was the more prudent thing, more intelligent thing to do. Come to Medina yourself. Come in delegations. When you're coming in delegations, then there is a select class that is coming. People that are intelligent, that are wise, understanding, they can grasp the concepts fully and properly. They want to know something about trade and commerce, they are going to this Sahabi, trade and commerce, go and teach us this masla. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, a'lamuhum bil halali wal haram, Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Go to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he will tell you all the maslas pertaining to halal and haram. And he's got endorsed from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want to hear the Quran Sharif, ka'annama nazala tariyan, as though it is just being revealed now from the heavens. You want to listen to it fresh, then go and listen to the recitation of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Okay. So you're finding a built up society, Islamic built society, all made up, all ready for you. And by the way, from the ancient times till this day, the more prudent, the more secure, the more assured way of learning and acquiring is learning it direct from the person, not through these other means that we have adopted, email and whatever, b-mail, whatever else. That was not the way. You look for a simple thing. I'll just show you three simple things, right? That most of us will know, but maybe we did not reason, we did not apply our minds to it. Right? Namaz, where did Rasulullah SAW receive the namaz? In the heavens, Mi'raj, right? But after Rasulullah SAW received that revelation, received that namaz from the heavens, then the hadith says it very clearly, Jibreel alayhi salam, ammani Jibreel indal bayti marratain. Jibreel salam came down from the heavens two times to practically demonstrate the namaz to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most intelligent person of all the universe, of all from Adam alayhi salam right till the end of time. There isn't a malaika, there isn't a jinn, there isn't a human being that is as intelligent as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But for instructing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah did not send on kitab. Allah did not send email. Allah didn't send any radio waves, any television, nothing. And what Allah didn't know about these things? This is a small toy. Allah didn't know about it. Allah knew about all these things. But he didn't use these means to teach Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to instruct Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, he sent Jibreel sallallahu alayhi direct from the heavens. Come down. Ammani Jibreel indal bayti yawmain. Two days in succession. This is how the namaz is done. This is the time of namaz. This is the postures. This is what you're going to recite first. This is what you're going to recite second. This is how you're going to complete the first rakat. At the end of the second rakat, this is how you're going to go about doing things. At the end of the four rakats or two rakats, this is how you're going to be ending your namaz. So that whole namaz is illustrated, demonstrated practically by the Jibreel Salam. The highest of the malaika, he is teaching or he is instructing the highest of the Anbiya alayhi salam. You see, who's been used? Not ordinary person. No, not ordinary malaika sent. Jibreel Salam is sent. So we understand several things here. When you're going to learn, then you'll learn from someone that is very experienced, who's gone through the mill, right? There'll be people that are qualified, graduated as ulama, but they are new, they're out of the box, right? They will still need to build up experience. Someone has been through the mill for 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, 12 years, he's built up experience and he's got experience in that field. Then you will go up to him. In dunya matters, this is the reason that we will apply. The man has got so many years of experience, he's successful, we see that he's successful in what he is doing. So we go by him. Don't we do that? Don't we apply that? We apply the same thing. Same reasoning we do apply. So the man that is instructing, he must be so experienced, so reliable, so authentic. And the student also must be able to grasp the concepts very well. So both sides, if the student is very thorough and the instructor is also very thorough, then it's a complete job. That is namaz, right? Then you come to wuzu. Look at things like wuzu. In Abu Dawud Sharif, Imam Abu Dawud Sahib Rahmatullah, Sulaiman ibn Ash'as Rahmatullah Alayhi, Allah Ta'ala filled his grace with nur over and over. So he brings hadiths from approximately 7 or 8 Sahaba. All of them, each one of them, is practically demonstrating the wuzu to his students. He speaks about Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu, and Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu in the presence of all the people that are surrounded, and he's doing the wuzu. Each posture is washing. I asked my Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah once, I want to know how to do the masa. So he said, you come and see how we do the wuzu. He asked me personally, go and see. So when I see what he was doing, he was actually imitating the Sahaba Ikram. Because the Sahaba Ikram, this is how they did it. I'll practically demonstrate it, you will take it from me. When I do it practically, you will do it and you will accept it from me directly. Now you're checking from the book, you're making a mistake, you're not making a mistake, you're going to go on to the extremes. This is what happens to people. People go on to the extremes. Someone is doing masa, I have seen now. He's doing masa, got his fingers wet, finished. Washing his hand till here. Now you don't have a rapport with the person, you can't go and tell him. You're afraid that poor chap is coming for Juma namaz. You're going to go and tell him, he may just get offended, he will not come for namaz now, just now. Now what do you do? You don't know what to do with the situation. You're going to tell him, perhaps he will not come for namaz. And if you're not going to tell him, then al-wudu miftahu salah. The wuzu is the precondition, is the key to the namaz. When you don't have the key, then how can you enter into the namaz? Now what do you do? So that's one extreme that people will go to. And the other extreme that they will go through is they'll become over-cautious. That's also another extreme. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah is the founder of Darul Uloom Deoband, one of the founders. The Ustad was Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah. So he says, for some time in my life, I went through a phase where I began to encounter doubts about me making the masa on the mozas, you know, the khufain, the leather socks. I began to encounter a doubt whether I did it or I didn't do it. Now, about to start my namaz, then I think, you know, I think I didn't do my masa. Then I'll go and do the masa again. It happened for one day, second day, third day, then I said, no, this is shaitan playing upon me. So when the shaitan, when the waswasa and the stray thought came for the third day, that, you know, your masa is not done. So I back answered the shaitan. It's alright, if it's not done, well and good. But the shaitan is entering me, he's putting me into a dialogue, getting me stuck into a dialogue. So you know what, if your wuzu is not done, then your namaz will not be done. It's alright, very good. So alright, if your namaz is not done, then you will be answerable on the day of Qiyamah. So he now embarrassed the shaitan. He said, since when you became my well-wisher, you're so concerned about the day of Qiyamah? Since when? So he said, from that day that shaitan just went away, that straight thoughts just all collapsed straight away. So now, you get the other extreme, where people say, hey, some pisab came out. Otherwise, hey, some wind coming out, either from the back or the front, Shaitan is jamming you from the back sometime, from the front. Hey, making ruku now, hey, something came out. Front, something came out. Remember that shaitan does this to spite you because of his jealousy against you and to frustrate you. So until and unless you can't touch the Quran Sharif and take an oath in the name of Allah Ta'ala that I'm absolutely certain that that drop has come out, consider yourself to be in the state of wuzu. Don't entertain that doubt. You will just eliminate the doubt from the root. Now you're going to entertain one doubt, then second doubt will come, third doubt will come. You'll reach a point where you'll be frustrated. Not only frustrated, you'll come to the point of depression and despondency. Now, the despondency, whose path is it? Is it the path of Allah Ta'ala? وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. Don't become despondent. That's the path of shaitan. So shaitan wants you to become despondent. So you just tell him that the masla is this, that until I can't touch the Quran Sharif and say an oath in the masjid on a Friday, until then, no, I got my wuzu. Then even though if it turns out, really by the ilm of Allah Ta'ala, it turns out that your wuzu did break, then to your namaz is valid. In the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala, say that najasat or some impurity had come out, but you didn't reach that level of conviction. So your wuzu is done, your namaz is done, you don't have to entertain any doubt after that. Finish. Another story. Don't entertain that doubt afterwards. Don't try and be cleverer than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Please, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Nabi Sallam is teaching us, but we just remain like humble students in the class here. We don't try and become more smart than what he has taught to us via the Sahaba Kiram, via the Tabi'een, Tabi Tabi'een, and the Ulama Kiram. What he has taught us through that means and that cause that we don't become more smart than them. Just leave it at that. Don't go beyond that. Just remain within that limits. Inshallah, you're going safe. You're sailing properly, correctly to the shore of safety. But you will go obviously wrong where you try to become more pious than one of these people here. You can't become more pious than the Sahaba Ikram. When you can't become more pious, then why should we pretend to be like that? So they have taught us the deen like this. So just keep it like that. Don't go beyond that. Now you'll go, I see in some homes sometimes some old ladies making wuzu. They're washing the limbs and all that, they wash the tap 10 times. Now what napaki came to the tap? Allah Pak knows. Allah Pak knows what happened to the tap now that they have to wash the tap 10 times. Then too, they're not happy now, they wash one limb, again wash the tap again. Then wash the feet, and wash the feet again, twice, thrice, 20 times. Then they say, no, now I got the chin, I got the peace now that now my wuzu is done. So really this is shaitan, he is trying to delay you from good work. Now you could have just done the simple wuzu, you could have been on the musalla, you could have been reading Quran Sharif. Half an hour is taking only toilet and wuzu. This is because we are entertaining those stray thoughts that are coming from shaitan. So that easy way, say, I can't do this, so I have been taught and educated that I am in the state of wuzu, I don't need to entertain these doubts. Finish. One doubt will lead to the other doubt, and the third doubt until it comes to the point of frustration, despondency, then the little that you are doing, they will say, what's the use of doing it? When my namaz is not right, what's the use of doing it? So who is bringing it? You see? So just cut it off at that point. Don't go beyond that point. Anyway, talking of this Laqit ibn Sabira, radiallahu anhu. So he says, now we have come into the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the general practice, maybe not the work of Laqit ibn Sabira, but the Sahaba Ikram said, now we are coming into the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we're coming in a delegation, 15, 20 people have come in a delegation, right? Now obviously, we are concerned about the conveyances that you have brought. Because the conveyance is not a car, you just park it off, and that's the end of it. No, the conveyance, you have to look after it, that camel, you have to feed it, you have to see to its comfort, etc. All that you have to do. Nobody's stealing it, nobody's taking it away. All that you have to go and do, and you can't do it right in the city center. You have to go out of the center where the grazing pastures are, to go and do that. So now if everybody wants to go and sit in the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and derive directly from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then who's going to look after the camels? What's going to happen? We'll be physically, we'll be there, but the mind will be in our camels. What's happening? Let's hope nobody's stealing it. If they steal, what's going to happen? Then how are we going to go back home? Hundreds of miles. How are we going to go back home? So all the thoughts will then compromise your education. But by the same token, if everybody is going to be looking after the camels, then what's the point of coming to Medina Munawara? So what we would do is, natanawabu, we would take turns. One person is looking after the camels, whilst the rest of the company, the rest of the jamaat of the delegation, is sitting in the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what you have learned, you are teaching the one that was grazing. So the next person takes a turn, and the third person takes a turn, everybody takes a turn. So everybody is in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and everybody is also taking a turn to graze the animal. So now, it squares up, everybody is quite comfortable. And then overall, whatever the collective benefit is, everybody is receiving it. Our mashayikh, our buzugan ad-din, they are very particular when they are instructing any person. When they talk of murid and bigat, etc., etc. Then it isn't something like a factory, everybody is being taken in one way. Then they will look at every individual, what is the capacity, and what are his engagements, what are his involvements. Then you will take him according to his capacity, his understanding to his level. Hadith Sahib Rahmatullahi, he is now the Amir of this whole kafla, this whole caravan. You look at the, you go and trace it where it's starting from. Hadith Hadi Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullahi is starting it off, right? So people will come to him with different capacities, and he will allocate different type of duties to different people. Some people come to the Khanqah and say, alright, you just do the intizam, look after people's belongings, etc. That's all, shoes, whatever else, you go and look after that, nothing else. And the next person that comes in, he says to him, you go and make zikr 125,000 every day. The third person comes, he tells him, after every namaz, you will just say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 3 times after every namaz. So he's shaping it according to the person that is coming. That nobody must be deprived, and nobody's work must be affected. Because he's got some obligations. This man may have got no obligations. He's got a wife, he's got children, he's got so much of responsibilities. And he may have no responsibility. So now how to shape it for each person, that each person is deriving the benefit and he is also looking after his own responsibilities. But because it's been guided from the group, so whatever benefit, whatever good is coming out is being shared across the board. Everybody is getting an equal share. So that person should not feel that I'm only doing 3 times, I'm not getting the type of sawab that person is doing 125,000 times. That was your capacity, that was the limit. This was the maximum, this was the ultimate that you could reach, we brought you to that point. This was how much you could reach, we brought you to this point. This person, you tell him, alright, you just see that you are not doing haram. You're not hurting anybody with your eyes, with your ears, you're not hurting anybody. One person comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, comes in Bukhari Sharif. So on three occasions he asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, give me some advice. So could there be a sheikh that was greater than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? No. Nobody can be greater than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Can there be anybody, any person from Adam Alayhi Salaam right till the end? Can there be anybody? So on three occasions Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not telling him to make a lot of zikr, a lot of tilawat, no, no. The advice that he's giving him, لا تغضب. You don't allow yourself to be overcome with anger. What? لا تغضب. Don't become overcome with anger. Second time he's asking again, Ya Nabi Allah, give me some more advice. No, لا تغضب. Don't get angry. Don't become consumed. Don't become overcome with anger. Third time he's asking the same thing. Again, the same advice has been given to him. Don't become overcome with anger. Now, just let me just explain this a little bit so that we can think now. Hey, why Nabi Sam told him this now? How are you going to get work? You're a boss in the shop. You're the director now. How are you going to get work if you don't use some of your anger and all that? So let me just illustrate this. You know, this question's come up. So if I'm not going to explain it, although this is now going to the details, right? Where I started from and where I'm coming to now. But now these type of questions come up, pop up in the mind. Right? One buzruk was passing on town, right? From amongst the other people that wanted to come, murid and bayat, etc. So one python also came, and the python said, I will also become a murid. So the sheikh accepted him. Doesn't have hand, obviously, but he accepted him. However he accepted him. So the sheikh, what must I do? He said, kisi ko takleef na ponchao. Don't hurt anybody. Now the sheikh came after 1 year or so, he came around. Python came to meet him, like how all the murids will come to meet. So he saw he got gashes here, he got knocks here, blows this side, everywhere, the whole bodies. What happened, bhai? So now you told me you mustn't give anybody any takleefs. So when I go around, someone is throwing a stone at me, someone is starting me off, someone is hurting me, someone is doing this. So the sheikh told him, maine aapko kaha kisi ko takleef na pahunchao. Maine ye nahi kaha tha ki kisi ko punkaro mat. I told you not to hurt anybody, but I didn't tell you to not scare them off. Yeah, you must not hurt anybody, but you can scare them off. Hazratji Rahmatullahi says the same thing. Hazratji Rahmatullahi, he says the same thing in a different way. He says that at this level that you are, you can express anger, but you mustn't be contained, you mustn't be consumed with anger. What? You can express the anger, but don't you be consumed with anger. Now look at the difference. What he's saying. What he's saying? Don't be consumed with anger. When you consume with anger, you can't think. You can't think, you're doing all upside down things. You're going to be doing things, it's out of spite, just to hurt the person, just to smash the person down. You'll not be using your brains, you'll be using your emotions and sentiments. So later on you realize, hey, I lost 1 million rand because of my anger. Right? You'll only discover that later on. So that is as a result of you becoming consumed with anger. So what he says, don't you become consumed with anger. You can express this when you need it. Just show like, pretend like you're angry. Hey, don't do that again. Eh? Don't. So you just expressed it. You just pretended to be anger. Angry. Why? Just to get things on the cause. Right? The person came later to say, hey, don't do it again. But within your heart, you're not angry at all. So you're not getting, your pressure is not going up. You're not getting confused. You're still using your mental faculties. Your understanding, your reasoning power is still right. Everything is going on board. Everything is going straight, is going right. But now if you consume with anger, what's going to happen? Then you will try to spite that person, he's trying to spite you. Did you win or did that person gain anything? The Mufti Zabir Rahmatullah explained once that there was a dispute between two brothers about a tree that was in the middle of the property. Father died, two brothers, two sons left. So middle of the properties, there was a tree. So the one brother says that this tree comes into my side of the property. And the other one says, no, it comes on my side. So they went to court. And each one's advocate is saying, no, the case is yours. Pesa Pink or Tamasha Dek. That's the name. That's the game. He's only worried about his money. So he must say you that, no, the case is yours. The case, whatever it is, the case is yours or his. But he must tell you that the case is yours. Now, they had inherited collectively from the father 2 billion. 2 billion they collected, and the case is going. And when the case is going, the money is just going down. It's just going down. Until it took some years for the case to end, at a time when the court passed the decision, now, the tree should be cut off, half the tree and the firewood should be given to one brother, and the half to the other. At a time they gave that decision, when they didn't have the money to ask someone to fell the tree into two. See that? This is what? You consume with anger. So you want to spite and you want to push that person down. He wants to spite and he wants to push you down. Did anybody gain anything? No. Who gained? Shaitan gained. Both the brothers lost. If the younger brother thought to himself, it's my elder brother, he's as good as my father, never mind. If he's taken it, where it's gone? Not gone out of the family, it's gone in the family. What's wrong? I have a duty towards my elder brother. No, my, let him have it. And if the elder brother saw the younger brother, the elder brother would have thought, you know what, never mind, where it's gone? It's got to my younger brother, it's as good as my son. So it's not gone out of the family. My son enjoyed as though I enjoyed it. So what's wrong? I see him flourishing, then my son is flourishing, my brother is flourishing. So if both could think like this, then both would have enjoyed that wealth and both could have been flourishing. But you allowed yourself to be consumed. So Hazrat says what? That you only pretend to be angry. Just show that you are angry. Don't you become angry. You just made a noise a little bit. But you didn't, you lose yourself. You didn't allow the pressure to overcome you. You're not overwhelmed by sugar, pressure, nothing. Nothing has affected you. Your heartbeat, everything is right. Everything is normal. But you just show that you're angry. Just to get things right, that's all. Then you're perfectly normal afterwards. Then you can have a laugh behind also, it's alright. But don't you become consumed with anger. So we're speaking about this Hazrat Laqit ibn Sabira radiallahu ta'ala with his barakat, perhaps we are giving this details on this hadith, right? So he says we come to Medina Munawwara, and as I say now, this distribution of work, you know, when there is collective work and you're getting whatever is coming out, everybody is distributing it. Like you see in an istima, right? In an istima, someone is doing the lights, for example. Someone is doing the food, for example. Someone is peeling potatoes, for example. Someone is cleaning the toilets, for example. And someone is doing the bayan. Someone is doing the tashkil, right? Someone is doing the security. But when someone is doing the traffic, right? He's not in the bayan, he's only guiding the traffic. But when the sawab will come out, according to the sincerity, everybody is getting an equal share. Because if it was not for the person that is peeling the potatoes, would that istima be a success? It can't be success, even though he's doing a very menial, basic job. But because of his contribution, the istima is where it is today. So similarly, when it's a guided collective work, you are doing it under the guidance of a sheikh, right? So whatever is going to be coming out, is going to come out, and everybody is going to achieve that proportionate sawab. You know, sawab is not going to be decreased. You're going to get that right sawab. The mashayikh will be able to decipher and understand each person's potential. He will understand the person and work out a route for him that is appropriate for him. Otherwise, if the sheikh is not doing that, obviously he is misleading that person. He's putting on a load the man cannot manage. Rum rahmatullahi, he is a master of illustrations. So he says, one camel had befriended one mouse, you see. So they went to Spingo Beach, and they were taking a stroll, you know, on the beach, on the coast. Nice hot day, sweltering heat and all that. That thing is sweating and perspiring. And that thing, the camel is enjoying itself in the water, knee deep, slightly more than knee deep, you know. And the camel is talking to the mouse, "Are bhai mouse, you know, mouse brother, come and enjoy the water, you know, see how calm, relaxing, refreshing." He said, no, hey, it's too much for us. It's not deep, it's only knee deep. Says, "You're knee deep. I'll get drowned just now. Meri puri nasal khatam ho jayegi. I won't have any, my progeny will be wiped out completely just now." So the sheikh will take the person according to the capacity. He's not going to, the camel cannot think about himself, cannot think about the mouse according to him. You must think about yourself according to yourself and work out a route for this mouse. Then you work in properly, correctly. Otherwise, you have only drawn out and you have only worked out a route for yourself. You have not considered this person's plight. You're going to take him to the road of destruction just now. So the one that is coming with that capacity, that weak and low capacity, oh, he's got other obligations and duties. He must also get to Jannah. Like how you going, right? He must also get the type of comforts in the hereafter.
But now, how to work out a route for that person? What should we give? What should be given to that person? He is in his position, you are in his, your position, and both need to go there. So what and how should we work out that route for him? So the Laqit ibn Sabira radiallahu anhu says that we came to Madina Munawwara. So obviously we are all very eager to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Came in a delegation. Now if Nabi Sallam would be here, say for example someone says Nabi Sallam is there at the gate, you think anybody would be sitting here? Even the charters that are sitting on the chair, I think they'll forget all the sickness, they'll be the first to run there. They'll forget all the sickness, they'll be there. Who will be able to be to contain his happiness? Is there anybody that can contain his happiness? Nobody can contain happiness. He'll be so excited. Nabi Sallam is here, forget everything. Tomorrow we'll see the hospital, but today now we just need to go and sprint and be. So we couldn't contain our happiness and went straight to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu wasn't at his Mubarak residence. Aisha radiallahu anha received us. Obviously there must have been some khadim or someone. It's a female and males that have come. So she has seen to us, passed on some, the word that comes in the hadith, khariza. Khariza, if you look at it, is something like a cereal, like how we have halim and all that, you know. Some grains, sometimes the grain, that cereal is with some meat, etc. And sometimes it's without meat. So both ways, sometimes it's sweet, sometimes it is a cereal that is salty, something. So that we will call it, our term we will call halim. So she fed them with something like that, then some kajur, whatever she had presented it to them. Right. Now that's the Islamic duty of a Muslim. Someone comes to the house, then the hadith says, لا تتخذوا بيوتكم قبورا. Don't make your homes into a qabristan. Qabristan, does anybody extend any hospitality? Nobody extends any hospitality in the qabristan. But someone came to your home, to your business, to meet you as a friend. Then you offer him something. And this is the sunnah that we acquire from Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam is dakhalu alayhi faqalu salama. And that holds, waja'a bi ijlin hanid. He brought about a roasted calf, fat roasted calf. So all the time, that fat is not dangerous in cholesterol. Eh? If it was cholesterol, Ibrahim al-Islam would have never offered it to his guests, right? How much your body can take, someone can take, and someone cannot take. So for everybody is not dangerous. For some people it's alright, for some people it's not alright. Anyway, so Ibrahim al-Islam had offered. So this is a sunnah of Ibrahim al-Islam. You don't make your home into a qabristan now, it's such a dull place now, some guest is coming, and you are entertaining him, no respect, no feeling, no warmth, nothing. That's not a Muslim home. That's not a Muslim home. One friend of mine was telling me that when he was studying in Dublin, so his Irish friend, he tells him the following morning, so you know, last night I had received my father-in-law. It was cold and raining, and me and my wife, both of us were eating. So we asked him to wait until we have taken the meals. And then, when he had come in, there was nothing left for him. So he had to sleep that night. And he thinks of staying at my home for 5 days. So we're going to charge him board and lodge. So my friend was very shocked about this. He said, but why didn't you offer him some food? He said, no, we only had about 15 pieces of chops. Half for me, half for her. We have shared with him how much we would have been left with. Now, you know, how could that food ever go down the system? When you got a father-in-law there, how could that food ever go down the system? Now that is that hard-heartedness. You know, tight-lipped, everything to the book. See, there's no warmth, there's no muhabbat. That is not an Islamic culture, it's an alien culture. And we need to understand that we are in this alien culture. So we need to divorce ourselves completely. But that's your way, and we got a different way. We don't need to imitate you in any way. So this warmth, this love, this affection, the Quran Sharif speaks about it. فَأَبَوْ أَيُضَيِّفُهُمَا. When Khizr al-Islam and Musa al-Islam entered, right, those people refused to show them any hospitality. And the Quran Sharif, you know, the Quran Sharif makes a point of discussing it. See how these people were so unhospitable. No warmth they had. They didn't even have the heart to show some hospitality to the people that came from abroad. No hospitality, no warmth. Up till now, that community that had done this, that was guilty of this, the Quran Sharif is embarrassing them. Isn't that an embarrassment for them? So a Muslim home, there must be some hospitality, some love, some affection. Obviously, the parda issues all have to be respected. We can't become very informal and casual about these things. If the woman is all alone, there's no khadim, then the better thing is to tell those men, but you just stay out now, there's no men here. When they come, then inshallah, oh, this is the phone number of my husband, let's contact him, he'll come immediately, and then we can carry on. Otherwise, now the husband comes in, it's a time of fitna and suspicion. Isn't it a time of suspicion and fitna? So when it's a time of suspicion and fitna, then the husband may have some reservations about his wife. What happened? This man is all alone with my wife, what happened here? So she will contact the husband straight away, that this is the case, your brother has come in, what do I do? So anyway, Aisha radiallahu anha had fed them, and then this Laqit ibn Sabira radiallahu anha says, then Rasul comes in. And now, Rasul has been blessed with such a beautiful walk. Every aspect of Nabi Sallam was so beautiful. It has stuck in the minds of the Sahaba kiram. كَأَنَّمَا يَنْحَطُّ مِنْ سَبَبٍ. He's actually giving a description of how Nabi Sallam used to walk. Imagine to what detail they loved Nabi Sallam, and every aspect of his was so beautiful, so lovable, that they just preserved it. He walked like this. And he spoke like this. And he conducted himself like this. Every minute detail. So, كَأَنَّمَا يَنْحَطُّ مِنْ سَبَبٍ. As though he was coming on a decline. What they explain, when you're coming on a decline, then you are a little bit bent forward. You know, you're a little bit bent forward. You're not walking haughtily with your chest out. So that was the Mubarak walk of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as though he was slightly bent forward, and then he's walking in a humble manner. يَتَقَلَّعُ. And then the second description they give of the Mubarak walk of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, يَتَقَلَّعُ. And when he walked, then he lifted his leg with a little bit of force, you know. One is like how you get women walking, they're dragging the feet, the chumpers, you know, kachak, kachak. That is a woman walk. But it's not for men to walk like that. Has Aisha radiallahu anha seen someone walking, you know, like a very, he got his head down and he's dragging his feet. So why is the person walking like this? Is he sick? So no, he's not ill. Why? No, they say that he's a very learned, pious person. No. Aisha says, no. You can't be more pious than her, Umar radiallahu anha. But Umar radiallahu anha, when he walked swiftly. When he spoke, and he spoke very audibly. So if that was a sin and it was against piety, Umar radiallahu wouldn't have walked like this. He would have spoke like this. So you speak audibly, clearly. And when you walk also, you don't walk like a woman. Women walk differently and men walk differently. They are expected, it's expected of them not to run around like, you know, in a marathon. They're not supposed to be doing like that. And men are supposed to be walking with a little bit of swiftness, a little bit of boldness. You know, a little bit of bravery. Rasulullah had come in, and the first thing he inquired, had you people had anything? And that was the first thing. Not like this, that, you know, some people have a bad reputation, where you come, where you go. When you came, when you go. Some people have that bad reputation. No. Did you eat it? Have you had, the man came into the house now, but have you had anything? They fed you, my family, you know, did they present anything to you? Say, no, yes, I have presented something to us. Now, we had hardly sat down there. Now look at Rasulullah, look at the hospitality, the muhabbat the Bism is showing to these people that have come in. They have come for good reasons, to learn deen. Now when you come for learning deen, you need to show love to the person, you need to show hospitality. So that person feels more encouraged, no, I must go on. I must be going on. In the meanwhile, a shepherd comes along, bringing Nabi Sallam's flock. So Rasulullah asked the shepherd, that what did the goat deliver? What did he deliver? In other words, one, two, what did he deliver? So he said, no, he delivered one. So then he says to that person, that shepherd, that slaughter one. In other words, for these people, we will present it before these people. And now he's making this sahabi, Laqit ibn Sabira, and his dedication, he's making them comfortable as well. He tells them, don't you think that we are slaughtering it only for you? Now why I thought about this hadith, why Nabi Sallam had to tell him this much? Okay, don't you think we're slaughtering it only for you? Because these people have come here to learn deen. And when they've come to learn deen, then many people are very sensitive, they're very noble in their nature. When they're very noble in their nature, if I come to your place, or you come to my place, and you're very noble in your nature, very respectable, and I laid out very, very well, 20 course meal and I did everything, then will you feel easy to remain there for the second day? You find it difficult. Hey, this person is going out of his way. We are being a burden on him. So Nabi Sallam had to make it very easy and comfortable for them. He said, don't think that we have started it only for you. No, our style is this, our system is this. Okay, we have got a flock of 100. And we don't want that thing to go over 100. Whenever it goes over 100, we start a one. Let us balance up. Today, there's 100 million then. We need to ask from within the heart. If it's 100 million, gee, do we ever say stop at any point? So no, hey, but the rainy day, you know, the madrasa we're supporting, and India madrasas, you know, what are we doing? We need something, man. You know, for the rainy day, and you know, how expensive today, how lifestyle is, how expensive. We need to do something, something. Some excuse you'll find, you know, I need something, something more. Until you drop dead, you don't feel that level of satisfaction, you don't feel that level of reassurance. So the wisdom is showing us, no, but you cut off at a certain point, you got enough now, I've shown everything, now, sit down, make Allah now. Enough. Allah gave you enough now. Now, thank Him now. When are you going to appreciate Him fully? With your whole heart and mind, when will you get that chance and opportunity to? And Buzruk, he saw a woman, you know, very, very smartly dressed, very beautiful from the head to toe. He saw a dress, you know, for the kill. So beautiful and so excellent. In his dream, seeing this. So he came, approached the girl. He saw it was an old hag, you know. But she was dressed up for the kill. The way that lipstick and the powder and cutex and whatever else was, anybody will just get lured. So he says, when he saw her very closely, then he said, hey, but this is a virgin now. She is a hag, she's so old and aged, and still she has secured and maintained her virgin. Though she's out there, she's perfume and clothing and makeup and she's done everything. But she's maintained her virginity still. How come you maintain all this? So he said, I'm going to share one secret with you. There are two classes of people. One are men, one is godly people, Allah wala. They ran away from me. So that's how I saved myself. Right? And those that are dunya wala, that ran after the dunya, then I ran after them, I ran away from them. Those that are dunya wala, then I ran away from them. And those that are Allah wala, they ran away from me. So both ways I remain secure. So really the way to earn dunya, if you want to earn dunya also, is to run away from it. Not to run after it, but to run away after, to run away from it. You run away from it, that it will come after you. That's the nature of the dunya. It's like the shadow. You run after it, you'll never get it. Right? You'll never get it. So that's the nature of this dunya. You run after it, you won't get it. You won't get that level where you feel totally satisfied. Now I've got what I really dreamt, I really got that. You won't get that point. So the real and the correct way is to run away from it. Everything will fall in its place. It's all illusions. It's all imaginations that we drop in our mind. Oh, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do that. There must be a certain point we say, no, enough is enough. We have got enough now. Allah has given us so much now. Now, the rest of my days, let me thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me appreciate how much He's given me. You know, how much is given me? I must compare myself to those people that are living in shacks, informal settlements. Many of them are Muslims. And many of them are Hafiz. Many of them are practicing Islam like how I'm practicing Islam. So look at them. When you think of them, then you feel a level of contentment and satisfaction within your mind. And if you don't look at them, then you're looking at those people above you. Then you don't ever feel that level of satisfaction. So anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi that comforted him. Now he felt very comfortable, very easy. When he felt very, very comfortable, very easy, now he began to ask personal things. You know, the person can only ask you personal problems when he's got confidence, he feels very comfortable, he feels very relaxed, he feels nice about you, then only can he ask personal things. He can't just open up to you when he doesn't have the level of confidence. So now, Rasulullah was so warm, so loving, so compassionate, that in that first sitting, man got that confidence. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my wife, hey, she got a wicked tongue. I imagine, he opened up straight. You know, this type of thing, you say, he's confidential, nobody there. And then we'll ask, we'll tell him, I'm asking you in confidence, no third person must know. Yeah, the first sitting, And he's gained that level of confidence, that level of love and muhabbat and trust in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, hey, my wife, she's very wicked in the tongue. The tongue is too loose. Fi lisaniha shayun. So Rasulullah told him, then fatalliqha, then give her talaq. Now the question is, one shot and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, from one extreme to the other extreme, bowled out. Why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell him this much? So understand it in perspective. That's why it is not the right thing to go and study hadith independently. You don't understand it in context, you don't understand the explanation of other hadith that fit into this context, that it is very dangerous. Let me tell you, it's very dangerous to open a Bukhari Sharif thing, you're doing a favor for yourself. No, you're doing a disfavor. Because you're seeing one hadith in isolation, you don't know. Only that person can learn and understand Bukhari Sharif, who knows the opinions of great, great ulama tabi'in. Because Imam Bukhari has made consideration for all of these people when he made this kitab. He made consideration of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, for example, Ibrahim Nakhai, Hamad, all these people here. He fitted all their statements. Within his words, he's fitted all their statements. Now you don't know all these things here, so you have not understood the Bukhari Sharif in context. You have to know these things here before you appreciate the Bukhari Sharif. So similarly, now you don't know why Rasulullah had said this because you don't know the context. Say, but how the man can testify divorce? Now you will raise up an objection against Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What happened to your iman? Tell me. What happened to your iman? Finish. Iman is gone out. So Rasulullah is speaking to a man coming from a delegation. He's the head of the delegation. So he's very understanding. He knows the direction Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is taking him. What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling him, by you will only appreciate your wife when she's not around. Now you'll complain about her. She's like this. She's a sore pain in the neck and all that. You'll say all this when she's around. But when she's not there for 1 week, 2 weeks, say, ummi out here, no sleep. Looking this side, that side, it's so dry now. It's like I'm a musafir in my house. One person told me, he says, no, I'm like a mehman in my house. He lost his wife, he says, I'm like a mehman in my house. I don't have the freedom now. Why was there? I had the freedom, I was like the boss in the house, doing this, that, everything. Now she's gone, no freedom in the house. Although he is the wealthy person, he's everything, but he doesn't have that wife, he doesn't have that freedom. See? So he'll only appreciate the wife when she's not around. When she's there, then you take things for granted. So therefore, Nabi Sam brought him to that level that he can understand what is the wife and how he can appreciate her. So no, hey, Nabi Sam, I can't do this much because I like her. He came open, he said, no, I can't do this much because I like her, I got children and all that. What do I do? See that? You can only appreciate when she's not around. I tell my friends, you know, by whatever that woman is, even if she's giving you headaches, respect her and do whatever you can do for her. And for this reason mainly, that she is a fortress for you. She's protecting your iman, right? She's there, your mind not wandering around haram. Right? And you tell me, if your wife is not around 2 months in your house, what happens to you? Very seldom can you find a man whose mind is not rotating in haram. The mind will also go, let me tell you from experience, I listen to all these stories all the time. Your mind will also rotate around makotis that are working for you. I'm telling you the facts. What will happen to you, even those maids that are working for you, your mind will rotate around them. So this woman that is there, you respect her. Why? Because she is the protection of your iman. She's protecting you. Whatever it is, she's doing ulta, sida, everything, upside down also she's doing. But the very fact that she is protecting your iman, she's a fortress for you. That is enough reason for you to respect her, to love her, and to show her all the type of compassion that you need to show. Our mashayikh say in this zamana, that you want to become a buzurg is not a difficult thing. You begin to love your wife more than normal. Number one, ishq. Ishq adraja. Ishq, one is muhabbat, one is ishq. Ishq is at the level of ecstasy. That's ishq. Right. Number two, look after your eyes very, very thoroughly. Aggressive, you know. Not just simple looking after the eye, aggressively. Number three, look after the tongue. Tongue also very strict, very stern about the tongue. Number three, look after your time. Because everybody has to enter into a discussion. They like pastime and just talk. Don't people like that? They like pastime. They give all stories, granny stories, what's related, not related, everything and anything will go. Because they don't have value of it. So number three is time. The Buzurganadin were so cautious of their time. One Buzurg sent his murid to another Buzurg. You're just my murid, you're just testing him out. What do you think about him? Just make an assessment. So that Buzurg asked him some question. So anyway, when he went back, so that other Buzurg friend of his asked him, but how do you find my murid? I found him that he is engaging in layani, in things that does not concern him. You know? He talks more than he's required to talk. And that's a fault. To talk more than what is required is a fault. It's a mistake. Because you're engaging in things that are not required of you. So, how did you come to that conclusion? He said, I came to the conclusion like this. I asked him, are you married? He says, yeah, I'm married. I've got children also. So I didn't ask him about that. Why do you go to all that extent? I just asked him, are you married? He says, yeah, I'm married. That's the question that I asked him. He didn't go beyond that. Now, he's going beyond that. That means he's got some layani in him. So you look after your tongue and very, very aggressively. Because this layani comes like that. When you start off one thing, then one thing leads to the other, and the second to the third. Eventually, sometimes it becomes a discussion. From the discussion, it becomes a disagreement. From the disagreement, it becomes a fight. But where it starts off, not guarding the tongue. And the fourth thing is not guarding time. So these four things and a passion for the wife. You say, if anybody's got this, then today's time. Today's time, says Allah Pak has given so much of concession that it's enough for you to become a wali. Allah Pak tawfiq nasib kare.